Thanks for checking out the Anchor Faith Message podcast from St. Augustine, Florida. Now enjoy this message.
So I'm going to ask some questions probably 100 times as we get into this, okay? I'm going to ask some questions a whole bunch. How have you been living the last few months? What have you been saying the last few months? Have you been reigning or have you been blaming? And so tonight I want to talk about the blaming spirit. So if you will turn over to Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. That's where we're going to start tonight. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. And it says here, do all things without grumbling or disputing. The New Living Translation says complaining or arguing. Do all things without complaining or arguing. Pastor Marcus stole my line. We could stop right here and I could probably talk for an hour about this. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. Do all things without grumbling or complaining, without disputing, without arguing. That means when Pastor Earl asks you to do something, or when Pastor Earl says, gets up here and he's casting vision for the year and he says, we're going to do a Christmas float in the Christmas parade again. We need to rally around that and we need to be excited for that Christmas float, because you know what? Some people could see that Christmas float and be like, hey, wait a second. What in the world are they doing? Come to Anchor Faith Church and they receive the kingdom message and their life would be forever changed. Yeah. What Pastor Earl does not need from us is, oh man, we've done Christmas parades before. I think that's a waste of time.
Come on.
No, do all things without grumbling or complaining. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. You know, I've had these thoughts plenty of times. Pastor Marcus, he's our worship pastor. You guys know him. He asks me every once in a while to play keyboard. And there are prevailing thoughts that will hit my brain as he requests that on Planning Center, or we'll be having a conversation in the office. And there will be thoughts, and you know, it hasn't happened a whole lot recently, thank God. But I'll have thoughts of like, I'm going to be stuck behind a keyboard all worship. I can't move around over there. I can't move around behind the keyboard. I'm just like, my hands out. What am I supposed to do? I want to have a guitar in my hand. I don't want to be tied to something. I want to be able to move around and headbang because I'm passionate when it comes to worship. I want to get into it. Yeah. Or I'll have thoughts of inadequacy that might come up, and I'm thinking, man, I'm not as good as Tabitha. Tabitha's amazing. What if the Holy Spirit's like, hey, we need to go to this old hymn, and Tabitha has this amazing anointing and gifting to just pull this song out of nowhere, and she plays it perfectly every time. And you know, it's funny because every time that I'm playing keyboard, the Holy Spirit doesn't move that way. Because the Holy Spirit knows, hey, Todd, you don't know the chords to this old hymn that was written in the 1800s, and that's okay, because I'm not going to move that way today. But it is a waste of my time. It's a waste of Pastor Marcus's time. It is a waste of the worship team's time for me to try to fire back and argue, I can't be on the keyboard. Come on, let me move. Let me display my passion as an example. Let me display my passion. But you know what? We have depth. We have flexibility as a team. Come on, say that. Say, I am flexible in Jesus' name. But we are supposed to do all things without grumbling or complaining. I decided to look up that word in the Greek, all, just for fun. I usually teach in our Kingdom Institute, so I'm looking up Greek words all the time. The Greek word for all is the word pas. I'm probably not saying that right. I don't know. Reverend Randy can correct me later. But the Greek word there is pas, and guess what it means? Bingo. You guys are so sharp. It also means any or each. Every, the whole, collectively. It doesn't matter what it is. Paul's saying it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. Do all things without arguing, without disputing, because we're sons of God, according to Romans 5:17. And we're supposed to be reigning in life, right? Well, when we decide to complain and we decide to grumble, we decide to blame stuff, we're not reigning. That's not what reigning looks like. And man, I've been there. There was a period of time that we were working 12-hour shifts 6 days a week. There was a month that we literally, our staff, we were working 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday to Saturday for a little bit. Pastor Earl had prefaced us. He had said, hey, guys, we're going to have a crazy season for the next 30 days that we worked Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. But you know what we did as a staff? We said, yes, sir, because the vision is bigger than our own comfort, our own time. Right. It's no big deal. Because you guys have heard this. Chase has been up here talking about the testimony that with Scotty was just born. And he had the confession. He said, you know what? No. Even though we're going to be working more hours, Lord, I pray that the time that I would have with this brand new daughter would multiply. And he's testified that that bond that he has with Scotty, it's like nothing else from his other kids. Because the Lord was able to work because we all decided, you know what? It's not my own comfort. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to argue about this. Because it's not like when Pastor Earl came to us telling us about this that he was like way crazy excited that we were going to be doing this. But you know what we did? We picked up that burden. We picked up that mantle and we ran with it. You know, and we all learned a whole bunch of crazy things. We all learned a whole bunch of goofy stuff, but I get it. I've been there of having a, you know, 12-hour shift, a 13-hour shift. You know, and men, you show up, you've just worked 14 straight hours, you've been building walls and putting sheetrock on stuff, you've been running reports of every which way, you've been purchasing all kinds of stuff to make the company run around. You get home and you're thinking, I'm going to eat some dinner. I'm going to take a shower and I'm going to just chill. But you walk in, your wife, who's a stay-at-home mom, you've got two kids under two. She's got dinner all prepared on the table. You're so excited. You're playing with the kids. You're eating. And while you're eating, your wife looks at you and she says, I'm so sorry, but I couldn't get the kids to nap at the same time. So I wasn't able to nap. And you know that last night, because of the feeding schedule and the crying schedule, because let's be real, with kids under two, sometimes you have a crying schedule in the middle of the night. I wasn't able to sleep at all. So I already gave the kids a bath. Can you just put them to bed and do the dishes and clean up the kitchen and stuff so I can go to bed early? And you know what? In those situations, if you as a man, you're looking at your wife and you're thinking, woman, I have just worked 13 hours. I have just slaved for our family. I'm going to eat, I'm going to shower, I'm going to just kick my feet up, I'm going to play Xbox, I'm going to watch Netflix. That is the most selfish, awful thing. And if I ever hear about somebody that has gone through 318 doing something like that, oh man, I'm going to take your sword and somehow I'm going to break that thing in half. I'm going to break it in half. Because we're supposed to do all things, it says here. This was not some suggestion. It says do all things. That means if it's the dishes at night, if it's some brand new project, Pastor Earl's asked us to rally around doing Dining with Dignity or Rick's Family Christmas or West Augustine, all these outreaches. Whether you get scheduled in Nautilus again for the third week in a row. Because those kids need examples. Whether you're waking up early for the gym or you're working on Kingdom Institute essays, you need to do all of it without complaining or arguing, the New Living Translation says. And you know what, guys, look, I'm not saying we all need to be a bunch of yes men, but you know what we need to be? We need to be people passionate about the vision that Pastor Earl has given to, that he's given to us, that God has given him for this house. Because it's not just what he wants to do, because there's been plenty of stuff that we've done that he's like, I never wanted to do this. But here we are, 20 years later, doing more than we ever thought we would do. Let's continue on, Philippians chapter 2. Verse 15, why are we supposed to be doing this without complaining or grumbling? It says right here, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. The message says it this way, Starting in verse 14, no bickering or second guessing. No second guessing, allowed. I love that. No second guessing allowed. Go out into this corrupted world, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. The word squalid there means filthy or degraded because of neglect or a lack of money. We know what this looks like. You all have probably seen those nasty, gross videos on Instagram, on Facebook, TikTok. I'm not on TikTok, but I'm sure they're on there. Of those crazy, nice people that show up and clean an entire hoarder's house for free. And you see the videos where there's trash and garbage and waste just piled up over the windows and there's no daylight in the house and they have to burrow through garbage to get anywhere in their house. You've all seen the videos. I know you have. Don't be shaking your heads at me like I'm crazy up here talking about this. But we see those videos and you can just smell it through your screen. You can smell it through your screen. I've smelled stuff like that before because I've been to slums in Haiti. I've been to slums in India. But this is that picture that Paul's trying to paint here, that we're supposed to do all things without complaining, that we're not putting blame on something. We're not arguing because we're to be a breath of fresh air out in the midst of this filth that is beyond these four walls. Because it's no surprise to walk downtown and you start to hear some conversations. I mean, it's nasty. The things that people talk about. The things that prevails all over social media, it's nasty. It's awful. The propaganda that is just all over our television screens, I don't care what channel you're watching, so much of it is just propaganda. We are to be a breath of fresh air in the midst of all of this. A breath of fresh mountain air, if you will. When we aren't complaining about this life that God is trying so desperately for us to see as an absolute blessing. There's opportunities of purpose abounding. When we aren't complaining about this life, we become a breath of fresh air in the midst of a slum. You know, I love going to the beach with my family. My wife, she loves going to the beach. That's like her happy place. You know, it's funny. We don't get to go to the beach nearly as often anymore as, you know, we always did when we didn't have kids. It's funny how that happens. But we always have a good time every time we go to the beach. But one thing I really love is during those certain months of the year that, because we like to go down to St. Augustine Beach, everything that's, you know, there down A1A, because as you walk up the boardwalks or there's dunes and stuff, they have all those dunes and you can't quite see the ocean yet. But it's like once you get to the top of it, you all of a sudden just get hit with a breeze. And if it's the right time of year, it's like the best salt-smelling, ocean-smelling, sand-smelling, and it just hits you, and you're like, oh, yeah, it's beach time. And it's just a wonderful aroma. But the problem is certain months out of the year when seaweed gets washed up, and it just sits there and sits there for days and weeks, and it starts to rot, you get up to that dune and all of a sudden you just get hit in the face with just this putrid, awful, rotting smell. And guess what? That's what the world is like. And we are meant to be that fresh, clean ocean air. That we're not supposed to do things without complaining or arguing. So after you've worked that 15, 16-hour shift, that you would serve your spouse. That you would let God shape you in those times of you just wanting to do what your flesh wants to do. But we're called to reign. That we're called to reign over our thoughts of selfishness. Because when we reign over those thoughts of selfishness, our spouse is going to see that. And they're going to see the light in the darkness. They're going to see living proof of God. They're going to see that glimpse of godly living. Your kids are going to see that in you. Your friends will recognize it in you. Your fellow employees wherever you work. Because we just need to have like a supernatural tenacity and work ethic when it comes to this. Whether we're serving here at Anchor Faith Church or we're at our workplace. Because we've talked about it before, you know, obviously we're not, you know, if you work a secular job, which every single one of you I'm sure does, besides those that are employed here by Anchor Faith Church or Treasure Harbor Preschool or Washington Classical Christian School or Dexios or King's Development Group. Who that list gets along? Because the vision's big and it needs every single one of us. But when you're working, you're obviously, you know, not there to be an evangelist 24/7. What you're called to be is an example, that you would honor your employer, that you would honor your boss, that you would honor your fellow employees, that through you doing things that is asked of you, that is commanded of you, that is required of you, that you wouldn't bicker, you wouldn't complain, you wouldn't be talking about the boss behind his back, that you would say, yes, sir, I'm going to do that right away. Yes, sir, I'm going to do that as soon as I have accomplished these other two things. Because, hey, guys, guess what? I get it. I have 156 to-dos right now on our project management software. I have 156 things, list items. And you know what? They're not all just one singular thing. Because, you know, making a slide for an event, that could take an hour or that could take 40 hours. But that also doesn't equate to the same thing as making a booklet for something like our Building the Believer class, which you should absolutely be attending with Reverend Randy on Sunday mornings. That 60-page booklet is a lot more involved. But you know what? That 156 to-do list doesn't stop from happening. Either Chase, who is our creative director, because I work for the creative team. I don't think I said that earlier. That doesn't stop Chase, who's our creative director, coming to me and saying, hey, man, we really need to do this additional thing real quick. Can you fit that in some way? Or Pastor Earl coming to me and saying, hey, I've already talked with Chase. I need to talk to you. Can you make this happen? And there's plenty of times that I'm thinking in my brain, I have this ongoing list of things that the ministry is requiring to happen, so that we can continue to function at fullness. Those thoughts could totally come into my brain, and I'm sure they do, and you know what needs to stop is I don't need to say, I can't do that. That's not what Chase, that's not what Pastor Earl needs in those moments. When Pastor Tim comes and says, hey, can you serve this Sunday in Nautilus? He doesn't need you to say, no, I'm too busy, because I just want to come sit in service and listen, because I don't want to miss out on service. That's like the biggest thing that people will say is, I don't want to miss out on service. And you know what? Melanie Clay has a phenomenal revelation on this that you need to get. When you're serving in another area, you're not missing out on what God's doing in here, because you're exactly where God needs you to be in this building. So you're not missing out on something. So when Pastor Tim comes to you and says, hey, can you serve this Sunday? Because we had a couple call outs, unfortunately. And you're available. You're not scheduled anywhere else. You don't have anything else going on. You need to say, yes, I'm going to do that. Because you know what? The vision is bigger than us and our own time and our own desires, our own things that we want to do. But we need to have a supernatural tenacity to do what's asked, to do what's told, to do what's commanded in God's word. But then also to go above and beyond. Because there's plenty of times that Pastor Earl comes and he says, hey, we need to do this. Chase comes and says, hey, we need to do this. And I have to say, okay, there are priorities that are already in the queue. How do you want me to fit this in? That is the better conversation than saying, nah, I can't do that. Because then we're finding we can do it. We're going to do it. We're going to accomplish it one way or the other. And we're going to figure out, how can we fit this in? What things are actually not priority coming up that's due within the next few weeks that we can just bump, we can move things around, we can have conversations? That's what your employer's looking for you to do. That's what our ministry coordinators are looking for you to do when they're asking you to serve, when your employer's asking you to work more hours. He's not looking for you to complain and say, that's me time. He's looking for you, or she's looking for you to say, okay, sure, I can absolutely do that. I'd be happy to help. I'd be happy to pick up this deficit. Because we're supposed to do all things. I told you we could camp on this for an hour. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. Verse 17 in Philippians 2 continues on. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and I share my joy with you all. Paul's saying here, even if he is to die, even if he's going to die, he's going to rejoice because he poured it all out to him. He poured it all out to him. Do you have that kind of contentment at the end of a day? Do you have that kind of contentment that your head would hit the pillow and you're like, I did everything I needed to do today. I poured it all out today. I did all things without grumbling, complaining. I did all things exactly the way that I needed to do them today. I gave it all out. I was the influence I needed to be. Do you have that kind of contentment? Because apparently we can have that kind of contentment. Because the Apostle Paul did. You didn't complain to those in authority over you. You didn't bicker when pastor had to correct you in a meeting. Because pastor corrects us because he loves us. Because the Bible says that God corrects those that he loves. And if you don't like correction, the book of Proverbs says you're stupid. So when you don't want to be corrected, you're being stupid. Don't be stupid. Do all things without complaining, without grumbling. Don't be blaming pastor saying, oh, he's not using me. He's not letting my gift come out. You probably just need to be faithful. You probably just need to be faithful to the vision and wait. Guys, I've been here since 2012. This is my second time ever on this platform speaking to y'all. I get to teach in Kingdom Institute all the time. I get to teach in life class all the time. And you know what? I probably wasn't ever ready to be up here. And that's okay, because you know what? There was a time I was telling Alyssa and Bradley upstairs, there was a time that I was like, yeah, man, I would love to minister. I'd love to preach. But you know, after a while, I was just like, whatever. Pastor's going to ask me when he asks me, and it's not a big deal. I'm going to just do my part with the vision. I'm going to do my part with the vision, because I have this somewhere later in my notes. Our staff, as I was talking about, pastoral having to come to us and say, hey, we're going to have to work 12-hour days. You know, it's going to be crazy, but it's just a season. All of us on staff, all of our pastoral staff, our leadership staff, we're really just the whatever team. We've got our youth ministry team. We've got our Treasure Harbor preschool team. We've got our creative team. But we're all really just the whatever team, that whatever the vision requires, we're just going to shut up, we're going to do it, and we're going to see the vision come to pass. Because it's not my time. It's not my time. It's not Pastor Earl's time. Because he said it all the time. This is not his church. His name is not out on the sign. If he had to step away as senior pastor tomorrow because the Lord told him to, he would do it in a heartbeat and hand it off to whoever the Lord told him to. Because it's not his church. It's the Lord's. And if we all would rally around this scripture, this commandment, to do all things, what would Anchor Faith Church look like in 6 months? What would Anchor Faith Church look like in 12 months? But do all things, and I'm not saying that you're not going to have to-dos to do, because, man, there ain't no way I'm going to accomplish 156 to-dos in one single day. There ain't enough hours in the day. I have dreams. There's other purposes that I ain't going to accomplish that in 24 hours. But if by some horrible, awful, terrible, no good, very bad reason, I were to die tomorrow, do I feel contentment that I have poured it all out in the last 24 hours? Do I have contentment that the last week I have poured it all out? Where was I at? Oh my gosh. When we aren't arguing, when we aren't complaining, we show people who God literally is. We show people who God literally is. We show people that there's a better way to do life. We show people that, hey, you don't have to just be a United States citizen. I represent a kingdom. I represent a whole other government that is functioning right now in the world. It's got a better healthcare system. It's got a better financial system. It's got better currency because there's no inflation. There's no exchange rates. But the passion says there to live a cheerful life. Live a cheerful life. But don't just be happy. Get joy. Because it's a fruit of the Spirit, right? Joy supersedes happiness and cheerfulness. And that sounds a lot like Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. You guys all know this. It's King James Version. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Man, Pastor Marcus was all over this earlier. You have to choose to rejoice. We have to choose not to bicker. We have to choose not to complain. We have to choose instead to rise up in joy and rejoice and say, thank you, Lord, that I was woken up in the middle of the night because my daughter came to the side of the bed having peed her bed, and then she threw up because she was sick, and I got up to clean, and I realized that my cat threw up in the middle of the hallway, and then I go to get towels and cleaning supplies, and I realize my dog threw up by the back door, and the other dog pooped all over the living room. Thank you, Lord, that I get to clean all this up. Rejoice in the Lord always. Just laugh about it. We talk about that often, that you just have to have joy, because you know what? It's not going to help my wife out. It's not going to help my kids out to just get frustrated and be angry. Turn all the lights on. You're screaming, yelling. Thankfully, something quite to that magnitude has never happened in our home. It's come very close at one point. I know some people that actually aren't in this room, unfortunately, that it has almost happened to. And it's rough. But in those moments, you have to rejoice. When you're getting ready for work, you walk outside and all of a sudden you realize that your vehicle has four flat tires. What are you going to do? Are you going to go yell at somebody? Are you going to go be mad about it? You know what? You can be mad, but you know what? Rejoice! And say, thank you, Lord! You have to buy me four new tires now! You got a bill that just showed up. This wasn't a suggestion, guys. Rejoice! What's coming out of your mouth? Are you blaming your situations and circumstances, or are you reigning over them? Are you blaming them, or are you reigning over them? This isn't a suggestion, just like Philippians 2:14. It's a commandment to us. Rejoice when you get asked to work more hours. Because you know what that means? That's more finance in your pocket, so you can give more money. There's more opportunities to give, and you're also at your job more to be a light to those fellow employees more. Rejoice when extended family comes to town for the holidays. And you're thinking to yourself, uh-oh, there might be a whole bunch of bickering and complaining going on, but don't jump right in with them. Don't jump right in with them. Rejoice when your child comes to you at 8 p.m. and says, I have a giant project that's due tomorrow, and it's worth 75% of my entire yearly grade, and I haven't done any of it, but I've known about it since the very beginning of the year. But I didn't tell you, and I never gave you the slips that they sent home with me that notified you. I'm so sorry. Rejoice! Because you know what? You're going to be pulling an all-nighter with your kid. Relish in that crazy time, because you know what? That's going to build a crazy, goofy, silly memory that you're going to be able to laugh on in years to come. Rejoice when something like that happens. Because you ain't going to help your child out by getting mad and frustrated at him. You're not helping nobody out. Rejoice. Like Pastor Marcus was saying, we have to choose to rejoice. Are you reigning over those thoughts that are going to come to your mind? Because, man, it's like, oh, it's 8 p.m. Well, Target's open for another 2 hours. Walmart's open maybe until 11. We got to go right now. We got to go. You got a shopping list? We're going to make a shopping list. Okay, what are we getting? We're getting poster boards. We're getting construction paper. We need more glue because we ain't got anything. We have to rejoice. Because we're kingdom citizens. We don't blame. Reigning kings don't blame circumstances. They see those circumstances and they say, no, I'm going to fix that with the word of God. They see those bad situations and they say, no, you have to line up with the word of my king. So when you get a bad diagnosis, are you instead saying, ah, the word of my king actually says, by his stripes I was healed. When you have those four flat tires, are you saying, the Lord supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus? When you get asked to teach a life class and you've never taught a life class before, are you rejoicing and saying, Lord, I thank you that I am apt to teach. I'm well able. You're going to speak through me. That it's not going to be my own words, but it's going to be the word of the Holy Spirit speaking through me. That's my prayer every time I get up to speak in life class or Kingdom Institute. Because you guys don't need the words of Todd Fouché. The words of Todd Fouché are going to be empty and dumb and just really stupid. if I'm being honest. I have a college education, but you know what? Like, who cares? I had to make that joke. Just for Josh and Chase, and they're not even here. But rejoice when you get asked to speak to our teenagers. Oh, and you need to pray for Pastor Brandon and April. I've smelled your teenagers, y'all. I have seen the angst that just pours off of them. I've gone to camp with them and smelled them after they haven't showered for 5 days. You need to pray for Pastor Brandon and April. You need to pray for their leaders back there. But if you get asked to speak to them, you need to pour it all out. You don't need to beat around the bush. You need to tell them like it is, because Pastor Brandon and April, I mean, you heard Pastor April last week. That's exactly what she and Pastor Brandon minister every single Wednesday to your teenagers. I make their life class booklets. We see the material that they're teaching our teenagers, and it's great stuff. It's the Word of God. You need to pray for them, because those teenagers, they need the fire of the Holy Ghost more than they need a fire emoji on their latest TikTok. But you need to rejoice, because Paul rejoiced. And guess what? He wrote this letter to the church of Philippi from a prison with his arms chained above his head, and he was waist deep in human fecal matter and sewage and waste and gross stuff. The rats would run around on top of it and run all over the arms and the chains, and they would eat at the flesh of the prisoners. That's where Paul is having to dictate this to someone to write it down, saying, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice, where he's saying, do all things without bickering or complaining. He's waist deep in sewage, guys. If anybody had an opportunity to complain, to blame his circumstances, to blame God, God, you sent me here. But he didn't do it. He didn't do it. He instead decided, you know what? No, I'm a king. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice, because Paul was content with little. He was content with much. And he had every right to complain, but he didn't. Come on, look at the life of Joseph. Pastor O wrote a whole book on this. And it's powerful. It's amazing. You need to go buy it. You need to read it cover to cover. It's called Cows, Crows, and Constellations. Joseph had every right to complain, to blame his brothers, to blame his father for showing way too much favor on him. Because guess what? He was left for dead. He was sold into slavery. And then he was servant to a master that he tried his best to honor that guy. And then guess what happens? He got falsely accused and thrown in prison. He was forgotten about. And I'm sure he probably had plenty of thoughts at every turn. Every turn, man, what is happening? But he put those thoughts away. He shut them up. And instead, he held on to the dream. He held on to the purpose. He held on to the vision that God had given him all those years prior. He chose to not bicker or complain. Are you blaming or are you reigning? The Passion of Philippians 4:4 there says, in every season of life, be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. So that means no matter if you have a little, no matter if you have a lot, in every season of life, rejoice when you're having to work more hours, when it feels like all chaos is coming at you and your kids have 17 things due in the next 2 weeks with school and you have to take them to every sporting event and every activity that you signed them up for. You did this to yourself. Don't complain. Don't start complaining about the very promise that God has given you, because I bet you every single one of y'all believe God for kids in here. Don't start complaining about those kids now because of the choices you made to sign them up for yet another sports event, another sports event, another sports team, another activity to do. Holy moly. And the Apostle Paul, he had every right, guys. Especially early in ministry, right? Because Paul was an acclaimed Christian killer. He said, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Paul was present at the stoning of Stephen. They all laid their cloaks at the feet of, of Saul at the time. The guy literally hunted down Christians. So what kind of thoughts do you think was coming into his brain whenever he was having to go and talk to the disciples? Whenever he's having to seek out James and seek out Peter to talk to them about what Jesus had said to him on the road to Damascus? What kind of thoughts were having to come to him? Are you complaining or are you reigning? And the enemy's crafty about this too, guys. He'll wrap up thoughts in beautiful wrapping paper with silver ribbon, with beautiful ornate bows on top. Thoughts that sound like this. Ah, Pastor Tim, Pastor Vanessa, I'm so sorry. I'm not going to be able to come do the blitz on Saturday. I really just have to spend time with my family that day. Because that thought can sound so noble. That can sound so noble, guys. But why all of a sudden would we think that it's just the kids' ministry? We can neglect it. They don't need my gift. If you're serving in there, if you're a part of that team, they need your gift. You're needed there. Rick's Family Christmas, we did this past Christmas. It was the first year we did it. We were asked to do it. We had like a few months of preparation and stuff, and I remember there was something that was happening. Somebody was supposed to be there to get coverage for photos and videos. I don't remember exactly what was happening, but something fell through that Chase came to me and Josh and Connor at the time and was like, hey, so sorry. One of us is going to have to get scheduled for this, and it's on Christmas Day. And I remember in my brain thinking, Christmas Day? We're going to have to work on Christmas Day? Those were thoughts that immediately came in my brain. And I let that sit for probably about 24 hours. But I finally said to my wife, I was like, how dare I think to myself that my own personal time is worth more than what God would want to be doing through our people? How dare I have that attitude? That I would think that my own personal time is worth more than that. Because, man, I was so excited to see everybody that showed up, that families that made it their morning, that made it their Christmas celebration. And I thought, that's exactly what I would have done. I would have carted my entire family with me so that I could take photos, take videos. And everybody that was there had an absolute blast serving those people. And I was just so ecstatic that I was able to just be like, no, if Chase needs somebody, if Pastor Earl needs somebody to be there, I'll be the one that needs to be there if it's asked. And I'm going to be fine with it. I'm going to be excited to be there. Because you know what? My kids wake up at like 5 a.m. anyway. It's later on in the morning. No big deal. We will have opened all of our presents. We will have ate breakfast. And then we could have gone there. And it would have been no big deal. But these are the thoughts that they can sound so noble, guys, that you're thinking, man, that's my vacation day. That's my personal time. But all of that is just rooted in selfishness. Are you blaming or are you reigning? Because our life's not our own, guys. If we're kings of God's kingdom, that means he owns us. If he's our Lord, that means he owns us. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. Consider it all joy, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Tough situations show up. They create the perfect opportunity for you to be made perfect. For you to be made lacking in nothing, it says here. Lacking in nothing. Count it all joy because faith means endurance. We can't be like the children of Israel. We can't be like the children of Israel heading out of Egypt coming into the promised land. 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 through 4. Pastor Andrew read this on Sunday. 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 through 4. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Because we've been empowered by grace. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So when we aren't doing, when we're doing things without bickering and complaining, when we're deciding to let these tough situations perfect us and mold us and shape us, when it's we're letting those times build our faith, it's helping us overcome the world. It's helping us overcome adversity. Don't give in to thoughts of defeat. Don't give in to thoughts of lack and chaos and distractions, because they're everywhere. They're on our phones. They're on our tablets. I work on a computer. Screens are everywhere. You go to Bailey's gym and there's TVs everywhere with every single news station and like other channel just playing stuff. And it's just all a distraction. Count it all joy. Are you blaming or are you reigning? We're in a new and better covenant. When we stoop to this level, guys, when we stoop to this level, we're no better than the children of Israel. And we're in a new and better covenant. Romans 15, 13, it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." We've been learning how to control our willpower, how to control our thoughts. But what good is it being filled with joy, being filled with peace, if you're not speaking it out? That's why I asked you, what are the things you've been saying the last few months? Are you blaming circumstances? Are you blaming situations? What are you saying to yourself when you're all alone at the end of the day? What are you saying to yourself after you leave a meeting? After you and your spouse have made up after an argument? What are you saying after that? Because we always have said that it's the meeting after the meeting that is really important. What are you saying to yourself? Are you having thoughts, prevailing thoughts of bickering, complaining? You're having prevailing thoughts of, it's terrible. I can't believe the outcome of this meeting. Or are you choosing to reign over those thoughts, shove them out of your brain, and say, no, I have the peace of God. I have the joy of God. Are you choosing to operate in joy? Because when we complain about the very thing we believed God for, we look like defeated people. When we complain about the very thing that we believed God for, we look like the people God wanted to destroy and utterly wipe out. Go to Romans chapter 13. Hopefully I can end this here. I have so much more scripture right now. We're going to see what happens. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, starting verse 25. They've got it. When they returned from spying out the land at the end of the 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And thus they told him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. They saw giants." Skip down to verse 30. "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us.' So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone and spying out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There we also saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and we were in their sight.'" So wait a second. So they just told all the people that it's a land flowing with milk and honey. And here's this fruit, this great fruit. And Caleb has said, "We're able to take this land." But then they decided to go out from saying all of this stuff, and they decided to twist this word, and they said, "No, we can't take these people. There's giants there. We can't defeat them. Their cities are heavily fortified." But this was the same word that God gave to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 17. He said, "I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of all these people, to a land flowing with milk and honey." It's the same word that God had gave Abram in Genesis 15. The Israelites were very familiar with this word, that this was a land flowing with milk and honey, that they were able to take it. God was bringing them to this land. But the spies, they twisted this report. And Caleb there in verse 30, he's trying to rally the troops. He's like, "Guys, we can do this." But let's read on. The story continues in chapter 14 because the Bible's not written in chapter and verse. We just split it up for referencing. It says in chapter 14, Numbers chapter 14, verse 1, "Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt.' They let the spies' false witness resonate within them. All night they cried out their voices. All night they were grumbling against their leaders. You better watch out if you start to grumble against those that God has placed you under. You better watch out when you're second-guessing the words, especially the word that is preached from this platform, because Pastor says that all the time. Study the Scripture. Study it out yourself. He says, 'If I'm wrong, show me in Scripture.' He says it all the time. Because Pastor loves having conversations about the word. If you have a question about something, schedule a meeting. He loves to dissect it. He loves to just, let's talk about this thing. We do it in staff meeting all the time. It's called Iron Sharpen Iron. It's awesome because we'll bring up the craziest stuff and we'll just talk about it from Scripture. But oh, you better watch out if you're grumbling, saying like I said earlier, 'Pastor's not using me. He's not using my gift. When's my time? When's my time?' Be faithful. Just serve with the babies in Nautilus Junior. Just serve with those smelly teenagers in The Current. Just serve faithfully as a part of our worship team. Because all of that, it just sounds so selfish. When's my time? Why won't Pastor use me?" And Pastor's he's gonna give you the same answer. Be faithful. Be faithful. Because the Bible says be faithful with little, and then you can be faithful with much. But we'll try to justify things with our own opinion. Don't be justifying. Don't be trying to justify your opinion. Especially if your opinion is at odds with the word that is coming from our pastor. The lies of these spies cost them the purpose of God. This entire generation that was rescued out of Egypt. This purpose of God that he said, "I'm calling you out of the affliction of Egypt into a land that I have promised you, that I promised your fathers, that I promised Abraham, that I promised Isaac, that I promised Jacob." And they let this focus of sight, this lie about, oh, we were like grasshoppers. We were like grasshoppers in their sight. Man, they don't know. They didn't talk with them. They had no idea. You could be having thoughts of inadequacy, thinking, man, I'm just not good enough for this promotion at work, but I really want it. I'm just not good enough. And all the while, your superior's thinking, man, I really wish they would just kind of get a little more confidence because by all accounts, they're qualified. And all the while, you're just thinking, oh, I'm just not good enough for it. And the Holy Spirit's saying, come on, you're a king, you're a queen. Rise up in boldness. Just stick with the word. That's what the Israelites should have done. But they let these lies, they let this discord sow doubt. They let this discord sow unbelief in what God's word was for them. Let them, this discord sow doubt and unbelief in their leaders. That their leaders, they're complaining against their leaders saying, why would you lead us here just to die? Why would Pastor Earl lead us to outreach at West Augustine just to sweat all day long in the hot Florida sun? Because families' lives matter. Because those young boys that are playing football, those young girls that are part of their cheerleading teams, the parents of all of those kids, they matter to our King. Because they have a purpose. They have a destiny. That they would just grab a hold of what the kingdom says about them, what the kingdom says is possible with their life. They would shake their families. They would shake their communities. They would shake St. Augustine and St. John's County. We just have to stick with the word. Don't believe the lie. Continuing on in verse 5, it says, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of all the assembly and the congregation of the sons of Israel. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes and they spoke to all of the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. I love that. They will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them. And the Lord is with us. The Lord's not with all these other people. The Lord's not with those that are lost in your workplace. The Lord is not with all of these people that try to come against the church. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. But all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Stone them with stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel. God's word is true. It's what Joshua and Caleb are trying to tell them. Guys, it's exactly what God promised us. Guys, it's exactly what we have heard. It's exactly what God has promised us. God has promised you something. God wants to take you to another level. There might be a new promotion at work, a new house, because you need to expand your family. You find out there's a new private school in town called Washington Classical Christian School. And the Holy Spirit's leading you to these things. The Holy Spirit's nudging you, saying, hey, this promotion for you at work, it's gonna open up whole new opportunities for you with this company. If you just will continue to apply these leadership principles that you've learned. We've got people in our church that have done these things and they've been promoted crazy amounts. A new house because you need to expand. And you realize, man, this is exactly what God put on our heart. This new private school, you find out, oh my gosh, it's classical Christian. Oh, they're spirit-filled. Oh, they're associated with Rhema and the spirit of faith. Oh, they preach the kingdom of God. But all of a sudden you hear a different report. Ah, that promotion's not all it's cracked up to be. The neighborhood that house is in, there's some really sketchy people. There's some sketchy stuff that goes on. That private school, they correct their students? No! And you begin to meditate on these reports, these murmurings, these complainings, these excuses, these blames. And all of a sudden you get passed by on that promotion, that housing contract you had falls through. You put your kid in public school, much to your demise, or not demise, not the word I'm looking for there. But all the while, the Holy Spirit was saying, this is what I promised for this next level. This is what I promised for this next level. And instead, you let grumblings, you let complaining, you let blame get in the way for you. It's like Romans chapter 6, verse 15. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? May it never be. That's like saying being under grace, should we keep listening to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons? Because that's exactly what that kind of stuff is, guys. When discord and arguing, complaining, grumbling is being sown, that's deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Should we complain about our children, our work, our leaders? May it never be. May it never be. We should do all things without grumbling or complaining. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the opposite must be true. So then fear comes from hearing and hearing the word of the enemy. This is what we see in Numbers 13 and 14. They're bickering, they're complaining, they're second guessing. They're arguing against their leaders. It produced fear in their hearts. It's so doubt and unbelief in their leaders. It's so doubt and unbelief for God's promises for their very lives. And an entire generation missed out on what God had promised them. They went parading and plundering out of Egypt, excited to be free of slavery. Slavery. And they're sitting there on the precipice of God's promises, saying, it would have been better if we had died in Egypt. What? You're on the precipice of another level with God, on another level in life. And God's saying, just apply my word to it. Just apply my word to it. Just apply my word to it. But then you just decide, but what about all this other stuff I've been hearing? I'm not okay. I don't need that additional responsibility at work. I don't need that additional influence over people's lives to be an example of God's kingdom. Are you blaming or are you reigning? What are you saying when you're leaving these four walls? What are you saying when symptoms show up in your life? Because if you're constantly saying, man, I'm sick. I'm always getting sick. I always have a cough. I'm always sneezing. Well, guess what? 1 Peter 2:24 and Isaiah 53:5, those aren't going to work in your life because there's no faith to work in your life. There's no faith that can be attached to God's word. We've been given this kingdom that cannot be shaken. We've been given the very word of the King of Kings to equip us, to give us faith to overcome the world. But we have to choose. We have to be the ones that decide, I'm not going to bicker. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to whine. Man, my kids, they whine. Isley needs to hear this message tonight because me and Brianna, we're having to tell her all the time. When we put food on the table and she's like, I don't want to eat this. Too bad. It's what's for dinner. We had to finally tell her, you know what? If you're going to whine about food, you're going to immediately get a spanking because guess what? We spank our kids. Sorry if you don't spank your kids, but it's in the Word of God. And the people that are trying to prevail deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons of saying it's not are false teachers. I'm going to say it right now. We call it like it is. We tell her, you're going to get a spanking, so put on a happy face and eat the food. And you know what happens? She starts to eat the food, and then she's like, oh, mommy, daddy, I like this food. It's so delicious. And then she eats the entire plate, and we're like, oh, my gosh, if you would just eat the food. Don't whine and cry to us, because that's it. We look like little four-year-old children to God when we say, God, why did you do this to me? Why did you say that I need to have this promotion? They gave me all this other responsibility. Now I have to work more. All the while, God's saying, I'm setting you up so that this entire department is going to be handed over to you. So that you're the one calling the shots for all this stuff. So that all of that finance, then you can start to funnel things to those employees so that you can start giving those other employees raises. So then you can start to make more money so that you can help to sow into the things that we're doing around the world. Are you blaming or are you reigning? I'm going to close with this verse. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. You guys should all know this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Our lives are not our own anymore. While Pastor Earl and Marcy are away, we need to be diligent. We need to be diligent to do everything to pick up any slack that gets let out, that we would pick up any batons that get laid to the side. And we need to do all things without grumbling or complaining. We need to serve one another. And when we do, we reign and we exemplify the kingdom of God. Let's pray.
Thank you so much for listening to this message. If you want more, subscribe to our message podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Rating and leaving a comment will go a long way with helping our messages get better circulation. If you'd enjoy watching our weekend messages, visit youtube.com/anchorfaith. We'd love it if you'd subscribe, leave a comment, or a like on the messages. If you'd like to find out more information about us and how we're influencing the world and help support the work we're doing by giving, just visit anchorfaith.com.